Turn with me just for a few moments to 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to look again at this epistle that speaks of the fact that Jesus has risen from the grave. He is alive. He is at the right hand of the Father, and he has sent his Spirit to allow us to fellowship with him. And let me just say, I need to respond to the kind words that were said and all that's been done. I've been just overwhelmed by just what you folks have done for us. The church is the body of Christ, and the pastor-teacher position has to have the gifting. So it all points back to the Lord Jesus. It also takes a people who are willing to listen to the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus himself, and I thank God for faithful people. Isn't it wonderful to hear 25 years, 28 years, 23 years, many of our folks have been here with me all 30 years, and I thank God for you putting up with me all those years. I was a kid when I came. Oh, my. I remember Brother Stuckman looking at me wondering, what did we do? Did we do the right thing, you know, getting this young whippersnapper? I've been able to grow up here in the ministry, and what a joy to see the Lord work. I'm telling you, God is so good. He delivers us from ourselves, and he has certainly grown me through this time, and you've allowed me to grow with you, and what a journey we've been on. We're just in the front part of it, folks. We got a lot more that God's going to be doing. I must say that so much, and any pastor will tell you this, but I in particular need to say that there is no way this journey could have even been done without my wife. I know that's the correct thing to say, but it's far more than that. None of you will ever know what a true helpmate she is. I live with someone who knows Jesus, who is all about the gospel, who is all about the people of God. There's really no frivolous or worldly bone in her body. She just doesn't know about that, and I'm so thankful for that, and I'm thankful that she's reared our children to love God. I couldn't be in the ministry had they not had the heart that they've had. So I'm thankful for 40 years ago, God brought the right gal to me, and I'm so thankful for that. And so the Lord has been good. I just wanted to share those things. It's really, it does just point to him. And I'm so thankful to hear what God's doing in your lives, because I really want him to receive the glory and for him to continue to receive the glory. As I said, we're just really, I feel like we're at the beginning of what God wants to do. And I want you to know I am more stirred than I have ever been about what God is going to do in this day. And I think you know I believe that. And what God has done the last few years here has been remarkable. And so let's go together forward. And in these years to see the Lord work in a mighty way, because he is risen and we can have fellowship with him. That's the whole theme of this book. We can abide with the one who is in victory. Folks, our leader is in charge of everything, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been looking, and I can't do the review here of getting us back on track on where we were, but we ended, we were partway through the paragraph that begins in verse 12. Actually, I'll go back up to verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Now, the thrust of the last message that we had was, no one has seen God at any time. He is a spirit. Now, Jesus Christ was God incarnate, the God-man. And so we saw the reality of God in, veiled in human flesh. Perfect human flesh, but in human flesh. We have now the privilege, and I want you to get a hold of this, we have the privilege of having the Spirit of the living God indwell us, as we talked about this morning, and he will make manifest in us the glorified Jesus. And so for people to see God, where are they going to have to see him? In us. And so it is absolutely imperative that we are in full fellowship, that great fellowship, that wonderful relationship we can have with the Lord Jesus. And so we must love one another, as verse 12 says. No man will see the Lord unless they see his love manifest in our love one toward another. And God, as he dwells in us, his love will be perfected in us. That's the miracle of transformation. The opposite of self, as I said today, is love. And how do we know that he dwelleth in us? Verse 13, he's given us the Spirit. You know, folks, your relationship with God ought to be so real because you have God himself telling you it is. But many Christians doubt even their salvation because they're not right with God. The Spirit of God is quenched, he is grieved, and therefore we don't have that reality. You know, to me it's tragic when Christians feel so distant from God when he indwells them. I mean, that ought not be. That is a terrible thing. God has given us the witness of the Spirit, and we know he's real because we have that witness. Let me just say, folks, let the Spirit of God talk to you. Let him make Christ real. Let him make the Father real. Let him make the Word of God come alive. Don't quench him by not obeying him. But then I just wanted to take one minute here on verse 14. I want you to see, coming out of this, we all have the witness of the Spirit, but John comes back now to the privilege that he had had. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. They walked with Jesus. They knew, those apostles, that he was indeed the Son of God. And they finally began to understand that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. What a great doctrinal statement. Jesus came for one purpose, and that was to save not just part of the world, folks. He died for the whole world. But here's my practical thought as we come to the table of the Lord tonight. We ought to have that same, we do testify. We know him. He's real. I mean, we fellowshiped with him. We testify that Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. He's my Savior. And he's saving me even now from myself. I am tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Folks, one thing we desperately need today is the confidence that we saw in Peter as we talked about him last week. He was able to look at that lame man and say, look at me. I'm going to give you something. I'm walking with Jesus. He's the resurrected, all-powerful Savior. I can give you what you need. And there is something about that authentic testimony as John has here. We saw him. We know him. Our hands handled him. It is real. This is absolutely true. And I am a witness of this. Jesus is the Savior. And if we will confess that Jesus, the next verse there, is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, in us, and he in God. God that wants to have a special relationship with us, obviously believing in what Christ did is key, but also declaring it. And let me finish with this thought. Did you know one of the ways to truly have the reality of Christ come alive in your heart is to publicly declare the gospel as much as you can? I'm telling you, I've come home from witnessing just in love with Christ, because when you're witnessing to someone, all of a sudden your hard human heart melts and the heart of the Spirit of God begins to work, and you begin to see that person as Jesus sees them. I don't know about you, but I've had trouble sometimes not being emotional, and you realize sometimes maybe I better not be, but it's his heart. And you'll come away from witnessing and realize the Lord really does love us. The Lord loves everyone around us. And so declaring that Jesus is the Son of God, you will be very aware that God dwelleth in you and you in God. That mutual oneness. We are in him. He is in us. So just a practical look at these verses. But the fact that we need to realize that this world will never know unless we live it out, the love of God being seen in us, and we need to be willing to declare that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Let's bow for prayer. Let me just ask you a simple question from this morning and tonight, because we're going to be, in just a moment, having a very beautiful picture of our relationship with the Lord, Christ in us and we in Christ. How much are you living in the awareness of that wonderful reality of who Jesus is, and how much are you rejoicing in that? It really gets down to how much is the Spirit in control of your life, and how much are you declaring the truth so that the Spirit of God is able to melt your heart and give you His heart, because you are now yielding to Him so that you can meet someone else's need. You know, when you love your brethren, when you are willing to reach the world with the gospel, you get changed in the process. How much is that real in your life? In this short little challenge tonight, let me just ask, are you abiding? Are you having fellowship? Is the Spirit of God in control? Are you walking with Him? These are important, important questions. Maybe there's someone tonight, you'd say, Pastor, this morning, tonight, throughout the New Life meetings, I realize that I am not living in that reality like I should. And I even say maybe see tonight that I need to be declaring Him far more than I am. I need to be yielding to Him, and God is working in my heart. I want that reality. I want that same confidence that John says, I know that Savior. He is real. If God's touched your heart as a believer, would like to ask for prayer about that, would you just slip your hand up for a moment? Certainly we'll pray with you about that reality. God bless you. Maybe there's somewhere in here tonight, Jesus isn't real to you because you've never trusted Him. He came to be the Savior of you. You're part of the whole world. You can't trust yourself. You must trust Him. And you say, Pastor, if I were to die, I don't know if I'd have eternal life. God's working in my heart. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up to join these others? Anyone like that? Oh, we don't want to miss you tonight. If you're here and don't know Jesus, we want to make sure we can pray for you. Now, Lord, would you work in hearts? Lord, we're so thankful for this wonderful passage that we've just touched on. But, oh, the confidence that we should have in you and the reality of that. And Lord, these many hands that were raised, would you give the desire of their hearts as you've been working over these past days in their lives? Lord, would we truly be willing to confess the fact that we know you and that you are the Savior, and to yield to your leadership and to live in that reality? Oh God, give great victory, I pray, to each one. Bless in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.